This is Chastity Pod, an informational resource about our favorite kink, chastity.
We're your hosts. I'm Denai Dumpling.
And I'm Locked Fist Monster.
And we're chastity veterans. In this pod, we talk about all things chastity related.
So if you're cage curious and want to begin locking up,
or a key holder who fantasizes about caging that special someone,
tune into Chastity Pod. So let's get locked and stay locked.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to Chastity Pod. We have a really special episode today with a guest who's made a lot of incredible art, and he's really well known in the kink world. The art we see online made by these various content creators can really inspire the kind of kink we have in our own lives. How has art influenced your own kinks and interests, Locked Fist?
I mean, I think there's a feedback loop, right, between the kinks that I enjoy, and then that leads into sort of what art I look for, what porn I look for online, and then the art that I see then sometimes infects me with new ideas, with new kinks, and or reinforces already existing ones. For me, a couple artists who I've seen, you know, the past few years that have really that I've really enjoyed have been guys like Robbie Copper, where, you know, it's like big muscular guys locked in chastity with like nipple rings. Love that stuff. Or Dan Draws Boys, the past, yeah, like the past year and a half has like really, really just been consistently producing fantastic concept of like muscular himbo-y pussy boys, just locked in chastity and getting their holes punched out. And that's something that, you know, very much appeals to me as something I identify with, absolutely has been reinforcing my own kinks. What about you, Denai Dumpling? What sort of artists have been inspiring or influencing you recently?
I always love to check out the art world whenever I can, because the creativity is insane. The fantasy worlds that people create. I mean, an old favorite of mine that doesn't produce work anymore is Roku Danashi. He did so many, like, I guess, like superheroes that would get turned out into these gigantic gaping holes by monsters and enemies. Mm. And that stuff's really hot, you know, like tight costumes. But currently my most recent obsession is a person that goes by Yetigo. You can find him on Twitter at YETIGO_art, A-R-T. And he actually has this, this character I've kind of fallen, head over heels for. He's this like school bully, kind of esque muscular jock person who's, put into his place by a more muscular superior, and he ends up being locked and turned into kind of like a human dog fuck toy. It's really erotic, and I like it so much.
Very, very hot. Well, on that note, I'm really excited for today's guest. We have Lord Sheeran on, the one, the only, the famous.
I wish we could put some fanfare for when you said Lord Sheeran on, but you know.
Look, if we get a sound editor, maybe we will donate to our Kickstarter. Anyways, without further ado, let's jump into our interview.
All right, I'm rolling out the red carpet.
Welcome back to Chastity Pod. Our guest this week is the one and only blogger and content creator extraordinaire, Lord Sheeranon.
Lord Sheeranon's wild and imaginative stories have captivated many of us into rethinking what it means to be a good boy.
And his blog, Male Protection, was a formative influence on my own journey into chastity.
By his special request to stay hidden under the veil of anonymity as to survey his subjects without distraction, we are here today with the voice of Lord Sheeranon.
Yeah, so I am not the real Lord Sheeranon. I'm actually just friends with Lockfist, and I was dragged into this. I have no real experience with chastity play, and I honestly find the kink kind of confusing, if endearing.
We wrote Lord Sheeranon a series of questions, he provided answers, and he has approved this voice as his representation on our show.
This is going to be fun. Kind of like a Mouth of Sauron deleted scenes in Lord of the Rings, but like kinky.
I'm already confused.
Lord Sheeranon, when did you start Male Protection? I came across it in late 2010, early 2011, I think. But I remember you having quite a bit of content by then, including quite a bit with elves and orcs, which I missed, by the way.
Yeah, I created my original male protection blog in early to mid-2010s. It sounds like you were there right from the beginning. There was a lot of content right at the start, because I was on a hiatus from work, and I put a fair amount of time into experimenting with different types of photo manipulation stories. I also began with a relatively wide range of kinks, including the age regression slash femdom universe of the elves and orcs that you remember. As my audience has grown over the years, this has sometimes had the effect of narrowing some of the range of kinks, since I'm interested in something that are more obscure. But I am intending to have more fantasy stories again in the future. The Prince Eridan story was set in a world that will also have magic, so there will be room for elves and orcs.
Awesome. I'll be looking forward to checking that out. Your content has also evolved over the years. Though chastity seems to be a common theme in many of your stories. Have you always been at the chastity kink? How did you first learn about it?
So I first learned about it through the Justin series of erotic stories written by Top Legal back in 1997. I think I found these stories myself in 1999. In this series, a formerly willful twink named Justin decides to go back to his dumb ex-boyfriend, but as part of their new arrangement, he agrees to submit to a set of rules. And the rules included shaving Justin's body hair, enforced nudity inside the house, and frequent spankings. So at the outset, it's primarily a spanking fetish series, but three quarters on the way through, the Dom buys a chastity belt for Justin, and chastity is added into the rules. That was probably my first serious exposure to the idea of chastity fetish. I don't think the original series even explored the idea of making the boy horny from staying locked. It was simply about control. So that series was influential for me, and you can see how I've continued to develop these themes over the years. I bought my first CB2K cage around 2005, so there was a several-year gap between the erotic idea and actual experimentation. At the time, I had a long-distance sub, and I made it a rule that he should be kept in chastity while we were apart. By 2006, the year after, I had at least three cages, because I went on a vacation to Puebla Vallarta, where I had three boys locked up.
Oh, okay, hold up. We need more information about this vacation and these three boys.
Puerto Vallarta is a common vacation destination for gay guys from Toronto. I brought a regular boy with me from here, and we met up with an online boy from South America that I was training at the time. We rented a nice apartment in the old town near the gay beach. This was still in an era where we were more experimenting with chastity play rather than long-term locking, but I kept the boys locked and nude in the apartment. At one point, we picked up a cute boy on the beach, vacationing there. We brought him back to the apartment, but I told him that he would have to conform to certain rules to hang out with us. He was a bit unsure at first, but quickly saw how much fun my other two boys were having, and he was eager to be a part of the boy culture I had already established. So my boy took him aside, so to his grooming, like shaving his pubes. As I recall, he became rather excited, so it took a while to fit him into his cage. But after he was safely locked, he and the other boys were able to give each other chaste kisses and take turns serving me.
That sounds like such a hot encounter. What a lucky boy he is to be introduced to chastity and submission by your group. I love being locked when I'm on vacation too, especially when I'm going to a beach and I can have my cage visible and not have to worry about anyone knowing who I am. Lord Chiranon, have you always been a kinky person? What sparked your initial forays into kink? And what are your main kinks centered around now?
So I'd say a lot of the ideas and excitement go all the way back into childhood. But in terms of putting things into actual practice, back when I was 26, my first serious boyfriend and I were extremely sexually compatible. I would tie him up, blindfold him, and play every inch of his skin as an erotic instrument. We could have sex for 12, 16 hours even as a stretch, all weekend long. My main kicks today are essentially identical to what you see in my work. I like exploring control, loss of control, transformation, change of power dynamics, etc.
Very hot. Would you consider there to be a central theme to all of your works?
I'd say that cultural change is often a central theme in my erotic fiction. how do various individuals react when they arrive at Chastity Bo Island, when they are assigned a role and when they're made to conform to the new society's rules? I like to explore and to subvert expectations of social norms for tops and bottoms, along with traditional gender roles, even racial and ethnic privilege. What if a person who has always been a leader, because he's a tall, muscular hunk, suddenly finds himself in the body of a small, skinny twink? Or what if a confident hung man watches his manhood shrink dramatically? So on and so forth. At the same time, my overall work seeks to be a catalyst for real-life cultural change. When I began to promote male chastity as a fetish over a decade ago, it was essentially unknown. I was literally photoshopping cages onto cute models because there were almost no pictures of cute boys in cages online. However, in producing my photo manipulations and promoting chastity fetish, I have, I believe, successfully infused the culture with some of my own ideas. In one obvious physical example, I tend to think that the reason most cage boys today also share the pubes is due in part to my continual pairings of these two ideals.
I have to agree, being hairless and smooth is a dominant, sexy, cultural aesthetic for locked boys. But are you really taking credit for its prevalence in the chastity world? Because for me, I started playing with chastity all the way in 2015. So much later than you posting all of your photo manipulations. And I hadn't found your blog on Tumblr yet, but I did shave and I wanted to be hairless because it felt like the right thing for a locked femme pussy boy.
No, you're right, indeed. I am not suggesting that I invented, that I have a patent on the idea of smooth twinks. I merely like to flatter myself. Maybe, in believing that I have had a positive effect on the trend line within the field of chastity play.
Well, to interject here for a moment, I think there actually could be a pretty strong possibility that Lord Sheeranon had some real-life implications here. Because back in the Tumblr days and, you know, the era right before Tumblr, when he was posting on Blogspot, he was pumping out all of these tremendous amount of chastity boy content. And it was all very like smooth and sexy and locked. And there's a lot of people who saw the work, were inspired by it, sort of replicated in their own work. And then by the time that Denied Dumpling came around and saw it, there was already this sort of aesthetic that he had helped create and promote. And like, this is especially true when it comes to your content telling submissives how to be a good boy and by following Lord Sheeranon's rules. For those of you who don't know, I believe the most basic creed to follow is good boys should be kept shaved, naked, locked, horny, and ready to serve at all times.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, you may be right. There have been a lot of people who precede, you know, me joining the Tumblr and Chastity Boys online. So maybe they've got a lot of inspiration from Sheeranon prior to that. In fact, I've actually seen a lot current day on Twitter with hashtag Sheeranon's rules, where people post their own locked selfies. They keep themselves smooth, locked, and horny, just like a good boy should be. And I can imagine you, Lord Sheeranon, see all this and see that you have a huge fan base because of the incredible world building in your stories. Many of the boys that post on hashtag Sheeranon's rules must be people who also would love to live in your fantasy world as a good boy.
On that note, regarding Sheeranon's rules, that leads up to my next question. Is there an overarching philosophy or set of rules you employ in your world building?
Sadly, I'd say that many DOMs and masters feel that they need to denigrate, even dehumanize subs in order to build up their own controlling power. And while I personally do find fetishes like objectification, puppy play, pony play, and even slavery to be erotic, I think they're psychologically healthy only if they're cordoned into a fantasy setting. It is quite important to my philosophy to affirm my boys in chastity as good boys, to affirm boys for being good. Being locked and shaved for me is doing something that requires discipline and willpower, which in itself is worthy of praise and affection and reward. This approach to dominance is warmer and caring, but still disciplined and hot.
Yes, plenty of boys react favorably to a warm but strict dom. Have you always been a dom and a top?
I've always been a dom and a top. I think I'm a bit of an unusual dom, in the sense that I am especially empathetic with my subs, as I was saying. I can imagine this come through in my work. My stories are almost never written from the dom's perspective or with the dom as the protagonist. It's much more common to follow the experience of a boy who thinks of himself as a top, only to have all of his power stripped away from him. As the boy goes on his journey in learning that he's actually meant to be a sub, you, as the reader, are supposed to feel what the character is feeling. By being erotically aroused, I can connect the submissive characters of my story to the reader. And preferably, my readers themselves should be enjoying these stories locked in chastity, so that they are feeling the same condition of helpless horniness very personally and directly.
Have you ever been a sub at all, or tried cages on yourself, either to test them or help understand the mindset of a sub?
I will admit that for several years with the old CB2Ks, I thought it was not possible for me to fit inside. I've subsequently become much more enlightened about how amazingly elastic penises are. The truth is that everyone can be made to fit. Over the years, I've acquired dozens of cages, and so yes, I've tried them for testing purposes, and also occasionally to take photos for my story. For example, there's a scene last year in the Alternate Path story where the Shirenon character is locked in a chastity cage, and those are real photos of my cage cock. But until 2019, I'd never worn a cage for any length of time more than an hour or so. That changed after I did an in-depth Locktober series with Sado Sam, as we followed the experiences of several locked boys and interviewed them throughout the course of the month of October. That was particularly erotic because I got to act as a kind of commentator, talking with him about how these helplessly horny boys were doing, almost as if they were racehorses. That planted in my head the idea of wanting to have the actual experience to feel that level of helpless horniness.
Ooh.
So I looked up the various online doms with chastity slaves and surveyed them for their expertise and qualities. I discreetly contacted my first choice and proposed that I would, in secret, become his online slave for a month, obeying him as a total submissive and creating a new online persona to log the journey. He agreed. I will say that, from my perspective at least, there are few things more enticing to most doms than the prospect of making another dom their sub. And he was excellent at it.
Oh my gosh. This is just like your actual stories about power exchange and giving up power.
Yeah, pretty much. My dom took immediate control and he created a set of rules for me according to his wishes. He had me shave my body hair, he took control of my diet and exercise. There were a lot of unexpected surprises. For example, he forbade me from drinking alcohol on weekdays. He tested me, I think, to make sure that I was serious. There was a minor infraction on my part at one point, and after that, he had me tie off my balls and he beat them with a wooden spoon until they were visibly bruised. I think when he reviewed the video, he appreciated the degree of commitment that I had to the role. He had many other creative tasks. And he did like to have me try to experiment with my smallest cages, of course, while making sure that I wasn't injuring myself. All in all, it was a very different experience for me. For the first time, I was having all these decisions made for me, and my role was simply to serve. I got to experience the amazing condition of helpless horniness. I grew to appreciate that long-term horniness. It is just as I've always understood it to be, based on all the feedback that I've gotten from subs for decades. It's amazing.
So would you say that you went through this entire journey as a sub all in the name of science? I have to commend you on your commitment. No wonder you can write so well from a sub's perspective and convey the bittersweet complexity of chastity. Do you still lock up at all now?
Before I did that experience with that dom, I'll admit that I had had a craving to try it for a long, long time. But now, having done it, the itch is really gone for me, and it has not since returned.
Well, at least you can say you've tried it, and now you know for sure that you're meant to be a dom. Let's pivot real quick and talk a little bit about your fantasy stories. So we at Chastity Pod love the fun and playful, sometimes shocking, sometimes twisted fantasies that you come up with. And it all feels so real because of your use of photo manipulation. Please tell us, how did photo manipulation become the main medium for your stories?
When I was growing up, I did mostly traditional pen and paper drawing, but I have been using Photoshop for school and work since about 1990, so a while now. I think the original impetus for doing photo manipulation of my fetishes, like chastity, was the fact that there were so very few pictures of guys in chastity when I started. With the first pictures, I created single frame stories, but because I like transformation, these quickly became two frame stories, such as my before and after works, and I still love to do that to this day. And my desire to create longer stories naturally filled in from there. I would start with the before and after pic, and then I began to elaborate the transformation process in between. In my current stories now, you'll see that I've sometimes dragged out longer and longer into a multi-story series. That's intentional, of course. A major theme of my work is keeping my boys in helpless horniness without any release.
And we love to see it. Your current followers know that your stories are quite in depth, and some span over 20 to 30, and even 50 pages. Each page is packed with high quality photo manipulations and text. And as we get invested into a story, there's actually a sort of denial I've felt as one of your readers too. I'll admit it. I was checking your Twitter every week for Chastity Boy Island updates. It was such an incredible fantasy world that you had built, and I fell in so hard. Each new development had me horny and frustrated because I was hungry and eager for the next post.
Fortunately for us, Lord Chiranon has an incredible library of fantasy stories on his Twitter. There's so much content for your readers to scroll through and feed their horniness. Some popular ones include, as Denied Dumpling mentioned, A Visit to Chastity Boy Island, and also a Degrasol story. Out of your many, many stories, do you have any personal favorites?
It's true that the two that you mentioned are probably my current flagship stories. There's also A Charming Tale of Elimination. I think that one, A Charming Tale of Elimination, is extremely erotic. Again, it's a loss of power dynamic. In that case, it's brought on by Faliminate, which is my long-developed penis reduction drug. I'm also extremely happy with the story A Visit to Chastity Boy Island. Chastity is what I'm best known for, and that story elaborates ideas I've been contemplating for years. I like all the major characters, and I think each one of them has his own consistent personality traits and his own transformation arc. Locked boys get to live in the shoes of these subs in the story, and I've had great responses on Twitter to the twist. About Degrasol stories, it covers some of my major themes: cultural change, age regression, muscle theft and muscle gain, and gender reversal as well. Initially, the story follows a gay couple, Mick and Chris, and they have their roles unexpectedly reversed. But as the story expanded, it began to envelop characters from several of my other long-form stories, including Paul's houseboy and Janice and Justin from my old male protection blog. As A Degrasol story continues to expand, it has become a bit of my own Marvel Cinematic Universe, if you will, rather the centerpiece of the Chiranon-verse, with the possibility of a role reversal story affecting the Chiranon character himself. I do like how that story has developed, but I also want to get the tone exactly right going forward, so it may be a while before I return to it.
For our listeners, you may find the story we're mentioning, A Degrasol story, on Twitter under the full title Alternate Paths, Apostaterex, and Degrasol Story. Again, Apostaterex is a drug that dramatically grows both muscle and dick size, but Degrasol reduces muscular men into adorable twinkish boys with little nubs. I particularly love Alternate Paths when you yourself showed up in the story as Lord Chiranon. I don't want to share too much to our listeners, but we do see Lord Chiranon tricked and then forced into taking Degrasol. And in the span of 30 days, we see a sexy, ruggedly handsome, muscular Lord Chiranon helplessly shrink into a skinny, boyish twink with a little locked dicklet, conveniently named Lad Shiri. Again, Alternate Paths is a really great read, and we highly recommend it.
Right. We love that you like to take an unsuspecting, quote-unquote, alpha males, and with a little advanced science and chastity, transform them slowly into a submissive and docile bottom. In fact, most of your fantasies, our main victim does learn to love their new role.
Yeah, so as I've mentioned, the emotional and erotic thrust of my stories is to empathize with that main victim. I didn't mention before that I am quite the empathetic dom to my bottoms, and you're supposed to feel that situation that he's fighting against, and ultimately often gives into and learns to love. What if you were in this same helpless situation? What if all of this was happening beyond your control? I find all this erotically interesting. I also think this should appeal to any sub with imagination.
I have another question. Although many of your fantasy stories include chastity, another common theme or motif is the subversion of gender roles and tops and bottoms. We see scientific influences that quite magically shrink or change a person's genitalia. Where does this inspiration come from?
So there are a number of medical procedures in real life that hit all the same erotic buttons in terms of transformation and control. I find these fascinating, even if in real life my personal inclination is to never do anything physical to the body that is permanent. For example, I do not even have piercings or tattoos. My one exception to this is body hair, which for whatever reason I prefer to see absolutely eradicated, both for men and for boys. However, I'm definitely interested in seeing the results when someone decides to get circumcised, or when women get breast implants, or after gender reaffirmation surgery. Not that I'm equating any of these. They're very different, and they are personal circumstances for individual. Ultimately, I'm interested in human plasticity and how different characteristics, which can sometimes be changed, have effects in culture and in society.
Building off that point, how do you yourself identify sexually? Do you consider yourself gay or bi? Where do you think of falling on the Kinsey scale?
I identify as a gay man. I would rate myself a 6 on the Kinsey scale. I've never been with a woman sexually, and I've never had the inclination. I'm interested in gender and gender roles, and I'm opposed to societally enforced gender roles. A close reading of my stories that include women, I think, will illustrate that my female characters are never sex objects. Or in other stories, male bullies will undergo transformation, will acquire female sex traits, and will experience the societal discrimination and the sexist gender roles that women must all face.
So in your stories, many of your boys have a certain aha moment or turning point where they've become fully emasculated and they give into their new role. Do you believe that if feminization or penis shrinking or chastity can give permission to men to enjoy being submissive or unlock a side of themselves that they didn't know existed before?
Well, not literally, no. So yeah, there are societal tropes and they're powerful. For instance, I'm a tall white man with a large cock. And because of that, I've inherited all kinds of privilege throughout my entire life. And as a result, maybe I've been a leader. Not that any of these qualities are essential to being a leader by any means. In fact, I play with these tropes. I want to subvert them to show that they aren't essential. There's a relatively new porn site called Twink Top, where tiny, young, shaved twinks top older muscle guys. That's my kind of porn, and I might do stories like that in the future, where the societal reversal is more mental rather than just physical.
Speaking of your aesthetics, a lot of the good boys you depict seem to share a lot of similar characteristics. They're slim, smooth, and have soft features, and they present mostly as white or Asian. We also do see Black men portrayed very often as these hyper-masculine doms in the Shiranon verse. Why are so few of your subs Black and or other people of color? And why are Black men more likely to be doms in your universe? Are you consciously playing with race fetish?
I am consciously exploring issues of race in the same way that I explore issues of gender. And just as I subvert traditional gender roles in stories, where, as I was saying, women dominate their male partners, I'm also subverting the real world's traditional racial norms, where people of European descent, like myself, have inherited privilege, while Africans, for instance, and other people of color, face systemic discrimination. So one of the reasons I focused more on subverting racial tropes than gender in recent stories is that many people in my predominantly gay male audience are unwilling to see what I'm doing with gender, because any women present in their porn is a turnoff, and so they turn off. By exploring race, I can keep the cast of characters all male, as on Chastity Boylan, for instance. With that being said, I've included many black subs in my stories, as well as white doms. There's a relative lack of East Asians in my stories so far, but that's not from a lack of interest on my part. It's rather from a relative lack of good high-resolution porn photographs of Asian, in my collection at least, that I can use as source material. However, I'm also consciously working on that. And there's the character of Colton from Chastity Boy Island, for instance, who has become a new favorite of mine.
Personally, for me, I find that kink content casting culture often repeats tropes for Black, white, and East Asian boys. And we've seen it over and over, and it's tired at this point. What would really excite me would be to see content that challenges cultural norms with an even more diverse cast. For example, there's plenty of sexy Asian doms out there who love their locked boys. And I have South Asian and Middle Eastern friends that have never seen themselves really represented in Chastity. So I think if we saw content like this in your fantasy worlds, it could really change the game.
Yeah, of course, I agree. There are plenty of East Asian doms. Unfortunately, East Asia puts out a lot of high-quality porn photography that I've been consciously collecting for stories. I do plan to have an East Asian dom in the second season of Chastity Boy Island. Of course, I've had West Asian or Middle Eastern doms in stories like Prince Erilin and in Harem Boy as well, but those are the opposite of what you mean in terms of overturning central casting tropes. And as I said, I'm somewhat limited in my particular photo manipulation work by my source material. At base, I'm doing fanfic or parody of public figures, adult actors, mainstream actors mostly, models, and so on and so forth. To tell a long story, I need full body nudes that are shot from multiple angles, doing things other than having sex. As an experiment, look through your own porn photo collections and see what percentage of the photos include the entire body, that is, without cropping off the lower legs, and survey how few images exist where the model is doing something other than having sex. For a sub in my stories, the model must also be entirely devoid of hair. And finally, I also need heads and faces with multiple angles and multiple expressions. All that said, you do raise a good point about the benefits of a diversity of good boys in the audience seeing themselves in the stories, and I will think more about that going on forward.
Your followers and I look forward to seeing it. There's a world of good boys out there just waiting to be inspired.
Speaking of inspiration, Lord Chiranon, are there any artists that particularly inspired your own work? Are there any more recent artists whose work you admire? For me, Space Pup Silver, Boomer SM, and Dan Draws Boys all come to mind.
I try to look far and wide for inspiration. I have a well-organized drive with about 8 terabytes of porn and erotic imagery. And because the straight world is by nature so much larger, I often find bondage ideas there, which I then translate into my own kinks. Regarding artists who are in my same field today, I do really like all the three that we mentioned. I've been doing a crossover story with Space Pop Silver and Boomer SM recently.
The explosion in popularity of Chastity the past 8 years or so seems to have coincided with a similar explosion in popularity with other kinks too, namely fisting and pup play. You do have a number of pup play and pup play adjacent pieces.
Yeah, I did some pup play stories before pup play was popular, that's true. I don't really like puppy masks. I think that may be missing the point of what is erotic, for me at least, because the person is made anonymous behind what is essentially a silly mask. I want to see the dehumanization fetish, but I also want to see their faces.
You also have not created a lot, if any, fisting content. Is fisting a kink that you enjoy or something you don't really care for?
Yeah, no, regarding fisting, I really have no interest in this at all. There was a guy who was really into foot fetish as well, who tried to get me to understand it in terms that I could understand, but there was a power thing, etc. But in the end, I just have zero sexual interest in feet. And it's the same with fisting. I'm actually rather turned off by the idea, but to each their own.
Truer words have never been spoken, to each their own. Thank you, Lord Chernon, for taking the time to do this interview with us. It's been a great pleasure to chat with one of our favorite content creators. We're at the end of our show, and we usually have three questions that we like to ask our guests. So I'll just start off with the first one. What's something that you are currently obsessed with right now?
So recently, I found myself really into crazy Japanese porn movies, where they do things like time stop control, or clothed then naked humiliation in the workplace or in school. There's plenty of other things, insane game shows as well, other incomprehensible things.
Is there anything in particular that you're looking forward to in the near future?
I am looking forward for a time where tattoos go back out of style. I love nudity, and if you have a tattoo, in my eyes at least, you can never be fully naked.
I think you're going to be waiting for a very, very long time. And what do you wish you saw more of in current day kink culture?
I would like a lot more porn without sex. I have a lifetime worth of videos of sex already in my possession. And at minimum, I would just want to see nice pictures of smooth, thin, beautiful naked guys. As long as we're dreaming, I would want to see them doing housework for their fully clothed masters.
Amazing. I see the vision. And that's a wrap. Thank you again, Lord Chernon.
For our listeners who want to find you and reach you, where can they find you?
Unfortunately, for now, the only place for your listeners to find me is on my Twitter feed, at Chernon. My previous blogs and archives have all gone by the wayside, I'm afraid. The best way to get my attention is to comment on my stories and say what turns you on about particular plots and characters.
Perfect. So go check out Lord Chernon's prolific stories on Twitter. Link will be in the show notes. Also, our Kickstarter is still going strong. So if you enjoyed this episode, please go donate.
Yes, donate to our Kickstarter. Link will be in the episode bio as well. And our own page on Chastity Pod Twitter. Daddy needs a new sound editor. Furthermore, our next episode is our last episode for the season. It is the Q&A episode, so please send your questions onto Chastity Pod Twitter and tune in next week for our season finale.
Until next time, stay locked. This is Chastity Pod, a passion project brought to you by two chastity enthusiasts. I'm Locked Fist Monster.
And I'm Denai Dumpling. And you're listening to The Sweet Sound of Chastity by Boys Noise and Pussy Riot featuring Alice Glass.
If you like our content and want to stay connected, follow us at Chastity Pod on Twitter.
That's at CHASTITYPOD on Twitter. We'll see you there.